XCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israeli troops have begun withdrawing from parts of Gaza. Tens of thousands of Palestinians are marching north after a ceasefire took effect this morning. Linda Gradstein reports President Trump flies in soon.
President Trump will land at Ben-Gurion Airport on Monday morning and will be welcomed with a formal ceremony. He will then head straight to the Knesset in Jerusalem to deliver a speech and then return to the airport.
A hostage prisoner exchange also set to begin Monday. The president's hopes of a Nobel Peace Prize dashed for this year. CBS's Vicky Barker.
Not Donald Trump. The Nobel Peace Prize heading instead 2,500 miles south of the White House.
Maria Corina Machado.
Venezuelan opposition leader lives in hiding. The Trump administration will recall furloughed federal workers to put together CPI numbers. CBS's Michael Wallace.
The government needs that key inflation report to calculate the annual cost of living adjustments to Social Security payments, which have to be announced by November 1st.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is seeking public input on its North Central Forest Draft Regional Master Plan and Environmental Analysis. According to a press release, the North Central Forest ecological landscape covers around 95,000 square miles, including portions of Clark, Langlade, Lincoln, and Taylor counties. The master plan is meant to guide resource management and recreation opportunities in the region. The DNR is also seeking public input on an option to establish a project boundary for a new property at the Grandfather Falls in with Wisconsin River, which would potentially be known as the Grandfather Falls State Ice Age Trail Area. Public comments on the draft plan will be accepted until December 7th. If you live in ag country, you are probably aware of some rough roads. Now is your chance to call attention to them. Melissa Kay explains.
It's harvest season in Wisconsin, and that means more agricultural traffic on the roads. Along with drivers needing to be aware of these slow-moving vehicles, you can help in other ways. If you notice roads that are in need of repair because of agricultural traffic, you can reach out to your local government officials to remind them that now is the time to apply for funding through the State Agriculture Roads Improvement Program, or ARIP. The application period opened on Monday, October 6th, and the deadline for submissions is 5 p.m. on December 15th. There's $150 million in grant funds included in this ARIP program in the 2025-27 state budget.
Visit WXCO.fm for more news or tune in to 98.9 FM. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
The Crew lose again to the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, the NLDS. There will be a Game 5 tomorrow night in Milwaukee. The Brewers shut out by the Cubs, 6-0 at Wrigley Field. Freddie Peralta surrendered a 3-run home run in the bottom of the first to Chicago's Ian Happ. Pat Murphy.
The first inning is always the toughest for a pitcher, especially in environments like this and big games. The first inning can always be the struggle, and hadn't shown him the heater yet and got too much in the middle of the plate.
First pitch at 7:08 tomorrow night at AmFam Field. College football, the Badgers host the Hawkeyes tomorrow night in Madison, kickoff 6 p.m. Wisconsin lost 42-10 last year at Iowa.
The focus is obviously what happened last year and what it is that we need to do to change all that happened last year. It'll be a physical, tough, hard-nosed game. Nothing different than what you would expect from an Iowa-Wisconsin football game. We've got to make sure that Saturday night we're ready to roll.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 98.9 WXCO.
A few clouds this morning, then mostly sunny here by later this afternoon. A pretty nice day today with a high in the upper 50s to near 60 this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We'll drop to near 40 for a low. Tomorrow, another beautiful day with sunshine and a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Frequent guest and former Republican operative Carlton Huffman joins the show to talk about all the day's headlines. Join me
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
There we go, the dulcet tones of Don Rue welcoming us back to the Lake Wissota studio here in Chippewa Falls. Nice to be home after a week of travels on this Friday morning, October 10th, 2025. Nice to have you along back here up north from wherever you're listening all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Nice to be here back for the fall weather. It was still in the mid to upper 80s when I left here last week. Hard to believe that it was, you know, that only that long ago. It was that warm around here, and here we are in the long sleeve shirts and the leaves starting to fall as well, and there is just nothing like fall in Wisconsin. In fact, that we did a whole special edition of our Up North News daily newsletter about that recently, which you can always check out. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. As for today's edition, well, you'll recall that last week I said that Ellie, our new newsletter writer, was asking people to share stories and photos of their favorite small business in their hometown. And so a few that she singled out here include Rosalie's Book Boutique in Beaver Dam. There's Geiger Awards and Apparel in Waukesha, Maker's Market Square in Mount Horeb, and The Hub in West Bend. And in every case, a reader has put some really nice comments about what makes them their favorite little hometown shop. And Ellie is now asking for next Friday, share your favorite local pizza place. I know we've talked about that on the show here. It's been a while, but we did, you know, give us your best non-chain local pizza joint. And we got tremendous response at the time. So I would definitely urge you to do the same thing for Ellie. She's going to be joining all the other newsletter readers in collecting comments. But you know what? If you want to put in your two cents, you got a couple of different ways to do that. Either jump in the comment sections on social media. You can watch us do the show on the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages and the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages. Or if you're like, Pat, I just want to send you an old-fashioned email. And whoever thought we'd call email old-fashioned? It was new once upon a time. Anyway, you can just send us that. Email us at radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Again, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, and send us an email all about your favorite local pizza place and why. What is it that makes it so good? You know, the crust, the sauce, the toppings, the creative use of the menu, whatever it might be. We'd love to hear what makes it uniquely yours. I guess I've delayed long enough, he says to Parker Olson, producer down in Madison Studio A2, and trying to avoid talking about the Brewers losing to the Cubs last night, getting absolutely shellacked by the Cubs last night and forcing a deciding game five. So the Cubs have survived two elimination games. Well, now it's an elimination game for both teams, both the Brewers and the Cubs facing elimination tomorrow night at American Family Field, pregame at 6:30. And then the first pitch itself about 7 o'clock, according to MLB.com here.
You know, last night was, I tweeted this and I would have to check the timestamp to remember exactly when I ducked out of this game. But for the first time, I think in my life, I stopped watching a Brewer game. I just could not handle it.
I feel like you're young enough. This should be, do your parents have a baby book? You know, where they put like all your little milestones, like first steps and lost your first tooth.
First turned off, first rage quit of Brewer game.
First time, first rage quitting of a Brewers game. That's it. I'm out of here.
It was just, everything was awful.
Well, you know what? Tony is taking the glass half full version, saying, I think the Brewers were just wanting to boost the Milwaukee economy with an elimination game at home.
Sure.
All right. Go with that. That's fine. All I ask of Brewers fans, and they did a fine job in games one and two. All I'm saying is game five, you better not have a voice when it's all over, because there will be plenty of Cub fans up there, and they're going to try so hard to make it feel like Wrigley Field North. Mm-hmm. And sometimes during the regular season, they get away with it. Oh, yeah. And so that's my only request. If you are fortunate enough to go see the Brewers Cubs game tomorrow night as a Brewers fan, there is absolutely no resting that voice. You make it loud in there.
Yes.
And make the Brewers understand this is a home game, and they have a pretty good home record. You know, got to wake up the bats, got to get the pitchers to do this weird thing called finding the strike zone and finding it in a way that the other team can't hit the ball over the fence, which seems to have been a problem in the first innings, especially.
A pretty big thorn in their side. Yeah, we haven't talked about this at all, which I think is right. It's not like it has not been so abhorrent that we've had to talk about it. But the umpiring in this series has been questionable.
It has been. I'm not, you know, it's not to the point that, like you said, it's not the first thing that we bring up.
No.
But yes, there have definitely been times where, once again, I have said, bring on the robots.
Yeah.
I am so ready for that. And I get that, you know, a couple of times the ball will just nibble the strike zone. And it'll break your heart because, you know, an ump would normally call it, you know, one way, but the lines are the lines.
Yeah.
And so if you accept that that's where the lines are, I'd rather have that than to have this so-called human factor on that. I don't want the human factor. I want it to be the right call.
Yeah, no, I'm okay. And I want the right call. I have that little buffer zone of, like, if it's a quarter of the ball that's in the zone, fine. I get it. It's not, you're not going to be 100 out of 100. But there are balls that are literally like a ball or two away and they're getting called strikes, or a ball or two in and they're being called balls. It's so infuriating.
Yes. Tom in Hartford puts on the text line, to win at home is the charm. And yes, it would be, because if you can win at home, it reinforces why you worked so hard to have the best record in baseball this year and to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, because we now know the winner of tomorrow night's game will go on to face the Dodgers. The Dodgers eliminated the Phillies last night in one of the dumbest, goofiest ways imaginable. If you haven't seen it yet, look up the highlight for how the Dodgers-Phillies game came to an end on a throwing error. A simple little comeback to the pitcher who threw it home to get the runner, threw it wildly off the mark. This little toss that should have been easy enough to make, even for old goofballs like me with no shoulder. And you got a case of the yips, and that was it. Philly was out and the Dodgers are in.
It was also just the wrong decision. I think I read that it's the first time that a series has been won on a error.
It's a little surprising, but you can definitely see how that would be the case. You don't see something like that to clinch.
No.
A playoff series. Yeah. No, you don't. And that Philly pitcher is, you know, it's going to be a long winter for him and for all the Phillies fans, to which all the Mets fans are like, hey, welcome to the club. You know,
join us in Cancun. Let's go.
And that same feeling is going to befall the fans of either Seattle or Detroit. They have an elimination game tonight in their American League Division Series. And whether Seattle or Detroit comes out of that game tonight in Seattle, they will face Toronto on Sunday night in game one of the American League Championship Series. And again, for the Brewers, it's all about home field advantage. If they can win tomorrow night, then they will open up the National League Championship Series Monday night against the Dodgers. If the Cubs win, then it's the Dodgers who have the home field advantage, and game one of the NLCS, Dodgers-Cubs, would be Monday night in Los Angeles. But we're not going to worry about that. That's just...
I refuse. That's,
exactly. So again, pregame tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. We've got a whole lot of high school football tonight across the Civic Media radio network on local stations. Head over to civicmedia.us and then look up the individual local radio station homepages to find out if there's a game on the air near you. The Badger football team will be hosting Iowa. Coverage begins tomorrow at 4 p.m. on several Civic Media radio stations. And then you've got the Packers taking on the Cincinnati Bengals, and Joe Flacco, again, who they'd faced as the Cleveland quarterback and will now face him as the Cincinnati quarterback for, you know, the first time within a month, him being traded this week from Cleveland to Cincinnati. Sunday's kickoff is at 3:25, and so coverage will begin at 1 o'clock on Sunday on several media, several Civic Media radio stations.
Friday morning, huh?
Again, Friday morning, somebody traveling and getting back rather late. But it worked out. But it's that whole notion of you get back, you got the long drive from the airport. Then you create Laundry Mountain, and then you begin to scale Laundry Mountain and get everything back in its place and actually get to sleep in your own bed and drink your own coffee in the morning.
Yeah. How was your travel? I haven't heard you. I expected complaining, to be perfectly honest, and I haven't heard complaining of the travel.
No complaining. It went just fine. I complained about Dallas traffic, but we got to the Dallas airport all right. Of course, there was airport construction, because there's always airport construction. But we got in there fine. But because of the construction, we went to go eat in one of the restaurants, and we thought we'd be at like a table or a booth, and they shimmied us down this very narrow little hallway and put us at a counter. So we're sitting elbow to elbow at this counter looking out over the concourse.
Okay.
And so it was a little confined quarters, but, you know, again, travel days for us are fun. We, you know, we like to be able to go places and see people. And in my case, it was, like I was saying before, my chance to finally watch the Billy Joel documentary on the HBO Max app. And I knew it was long. I didn't realize it was that long, that in two airplane flights, I haven't been able to finish it yet, but it's so, so good. And I, even though I haven't finished it yet, I just highly recommend it to anybody who has any kind of connection to Billy Joel songs and interest in him. You don't have to be the world's biggest fan to appreciate the stories that are being told, all the cameos that are in there by Paul McCartney and Sting and Pink and Garth Brooks and everybody else commenting on the music. So it is, it's really wonderful. My wife was watching Happy Gilmore 2 on her phone over at her seat, saying it too is really good. And it too has a whole bunch of cameos that are worth watching. So, you know, so we have to catch up on each other's shows over the weekend as well. And now that the sun's coming up, I finally have to look in the backyard and see, to what degree are we raking? Are we mowing? Are we just throwing up our hands and going, huh, yeah, you know, let the wind do what it will with it?
Give it a week.
I honestly don't know. I haven't looked out yet since the sun has come up, but fall's arrived temperature wise.
Yes.
And it will apparently look to be fairly consistent temps here with highs in the 60s and lows in the low 40s, and a chance of showers moving back in for early Monday across parts of Wisconsin. And again, you can catch your local forecast on the Civic Media radio network throughout the course of the day, including Matinair on Air, which follows this fine program. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach will be here from 9 to 11. And again, my thanks for everybody who helped take part in the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, which wrapped up a week ago. And as we looked at all the numbers of people who texted in at all different times of day, we really appreciated the growth and all the people who wanted to try to win the grand prize and all of the daily prizes. And we are looking for new and fun ways to incorporate that texting feature from the Civic Media app, which you can use anytime. Text us anytime to send us a message, ask us a question. We'd love to have that. And in the very new future, award prizes again for your participation. Our Week in Review panel is coming up live from the heart of America's up north here on Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this place part of your mornings. This is the Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger Public Address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. I am Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh, and this morning we are talking about the Wausau Sustainability, Energy, and the Environment Committee. And among the topics is the committee itself, being part of the committee. And Brittany Reamer is a new member of the committee, and I asked her about that.
I would say that, honestly, I mean, you just get thrown in. I don't want to scare anybody. And it wasn't a scary process, but you really do just get thrown in. So it's very important to ask questions if you're not understanding something. You get the packets and the agendas ahead of time. Look through those. And it's not scary. There aren't a bunch of processes. And I mean, there are processes that you have to follow, but it's very laid back. It's very casual. It's really just a bunch of neighbors having conversations with each other, figuring out together how to better the place that we live.
And Christine, I know that in the past we talked about that. I think at times that the committee has not been full, correct?
That's correct. It is full right now.
Okay, I wanted to ask you about that. And though things change, I mean, terms end, for people that would want to take that first step, what is the first step for somebody that may be thinking, hey, I would like to be considered to be part of this group?
Sure. I would encourage them to come to one of the meetings. They're open to the public. You can make a comment at the beginning, or you can just sit and listen to what the conversations are and what the committee is trying to accomplish. And then if you're still interested, talk to some of the members. There is an application on the City of Wausau website, and then it ultimately gets approved by the mayor. And then, well, in this case, we had more applications than spots in the last couple months, which was really exciting because when we started talking, we were down quite a few people.
Well, it's because you're coming on this radio station,
right? I know, right? Yeah.
You're gonna take... give me an award for that. No. I'm just joking here. But that is, that's really, that says there is this interest.
Yeah.
That this issue is important to folks here in Central Wisconsin.
Yeah. And even if you're not sitting on the committee, you can always attend and always comment or be a part of whatever we're trying to accomplish.
When are the meetings?
They are the first Thursday of the month at 5 p.m.
Yep. In the Maple Room.
Let's kind of touch back again about the awards, because you mentioned the fact that if you want to be on the committee, you have to go to the city website and fill out a form. That's pretty much what you have to do here to nominate for the Sustainability Awards, correct?
Yes. And it's not a difficult form. It's, you get on there, I think it's a 2-page form, just highlighting. You could even nominate yourself if you want to, right?
I would think so.
Like, why not? Yeah. If you want to just kind of lift up something really awesome that's happening, do it. Or ask a friend to nominate you.
I was thinking that would be the, give a call. Hey, would you be interested in nominating me? But the thing about it is important to have a spotlight on some of these works that are being done. Have either of you nominated anybody? Is there something that you've seen that, again, you don't have to be specific, but right, have you been able to say, hey, this is something I do think that deserves a spotlight?
Well, there have been some names of businesses that have come up at the meeting. The people who had named those businesses were encouraged to reach out to them specifically and say, hey, I think you would be a really good fit for this award. Not going to name any of them. Right. But there is a deadline for this. We're trying to get this accomplished within 2025 and have the whoever wins be highlighted at a city council meeting in the month of December. So the deadline is October 19th. Got a couple weeks.
Yep, that's a Sunday, the 19th of October. And again, the application form and additional information are available at the City of Wausau website under the Sustainability Committee, I would imagine.
Yep.
And again, just and it gives you an opportunity to think about people that have, and groups and organizations and businesses and all of the which that have done really good things. And how long has this award been out there? Do you have any idea? Has this been something that's fairly new? Or is
I think
something?
The first award was given in 2021 to Aspyrus. And I believe it was because of their solar initiative on their buildings. They put a lot of solar on. Mm-hmm. And then Good News Project received it in 2023. And so that's why we're really pushing this year to get a 2025 recipient as well. Mm,
very good. So anything else that we are forgetting here in terms of both the committee, being part of the committee or part of the awards that are coming up? Because, again, this is a positive thing for our community. The idea that you do have folks that are out there that do care about the current environment and also the future environment. Anything else that people really should be hearing about before we wrap up our conversation this morning? Because I think we've hit on a lot of the touches, but I don't want to forget anything as well.
I think it's important just to have maybe a little bit more of a broad imagination when it comes to this. It doesn't necessarily mean that somebody has solar on their rooftop, mm-hmm, right? Like, somebody could be planting native pollinator gardens or, you know, something similar to that. Think outside the box a little bit, and it doesn't necessarily have to equal solar on the rooftop or a windmill in your front yard.
Yeah, I love that.
And that's actually a good point, because, as again, just to underline that individuals, it seems to be a little bit, in a sense, unfair to say, well, an individual versus a major business or corporation, but the individual, whatever they're doing, can be just as worthy of acknowledgement as the important work that some of the businesses are doing.
For sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So again, you got just over a week. A week from Sunday is the deadline, and you really should get involved. If you have somebody that you think that should be honored as part of the Sustainability Awards here in Wausau to make a more sustainable Wausau, check out the City of Wausau website. Go to the Sustainability Committee part of the website. And again, as Christine said, a rather simple process to make a nomination. No pain involved.
No pain.
No fee involved, I'm sure.
No fee.
And then hopefully that somebody will be a very worthy honoree, as you said, in the month of December at the Wausau City Council.
Yeah.
Hey, I think, again, we learned a lot, both in terms of the committee and also this Sustainability Award. Brittany Reamer, thank you for coming in. Painless, right?
Painless, so painless, yes.
Christine Daniels, you're a pro. I was going to say an old pro, but I can't say that.
Actually, I wanted to write down master of Segway. That was really good. Yes. Got to keep that for the future.
But thank you both, and I hope you're both back here very, very soon.
Thanks, Jed.
We're going to take a quick timeout and then come back with more here on 98.9 WXCO.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 98.9 WXCO. An information vacuum may be one of the biggest challenges that Wisconsin farmers face with the government shutdown. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Jenny Wackershauser, who is a dairy analyst with EverAg out of Platteville, says without the necessary data from USDA, markets are left wondering what's going on, what's being sold, what volumes are we producing. And she said dairy producers need that data for some of the insurance products that they're going to be leaning on.
We start to get a lack of information that includes our monthly milk production report, which will be here in about a week here for dairy producers. So not only does that give us a look at what did September do as far as milk production, number of cows in the herd, it also is a trigger for producers who utilize the dairy revenue protection program through the crop insurance. Part of that program is we need to have that milk production data to do the final report.
Jenny Wackershauser, she's a dairy analyst with the EverAg crew out of Platteville. She said the last time this happened was 2018, and she said at that time when the markets didn't have USDA data, they traded sideways for the duration.
What is the Dairyland seed difference? The answer is found in our difference makers. Our seeds are developed and delivered for unrivaled performance in and only in the Upper Midwest. Our local dealers, expert agronomists, and everyone throughout our organization who live to make life better on farms and in the community. It's our people, products, and pedigree that combine to make a true difference that you can see on the bottom line and feel in your heart. Learn more about our difference makers at DairylandSeedDifference.com.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
We're off to a lower start on a Friday morning in overnight trade. December corn's down a half at 4.17. November soybeans are down a nickel, 10.16. July wheat, that's down a half, 5.47. Barrel cheese was unchanged yesterday at 174. 40-pound block cheese did gain 2.25 at 176, but AA butter was down 4.75 cents to 160.25 per pound. November, class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 4 right now at 16.60 a hundredweight, with the December contract down 9 at 16.65. Just a quick market snapshot for you on a Friday morning. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
A few clouds this morning, then mostly sunny here by later this afternoon. A pretty nice day today with a high in the upper 50s to near 60 this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We'll drop to near 40 for a low. Tomorrow, another beautiful day with sunshine and a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by Jennifer Sullivan of the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. We break down what's going on with MAGA's refusal to talk about making healthcare affordable for Americans under the ACA.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back at 7:35 on this Friday morning, October 10th, and we're here with our Week in Review panel, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, Chicago journalist Mark Jacob, and Jennifer Schulze. And Jennifer, let me start with you, and let's talk about the government shutdown briefly here. And the fact of the matter is, it is essentially a messaging battle with a whole lot of pawns, like all federal employees, troops who aren't getting paid, air traffic controllers who aren't getting paid. And Sean Duffy says maybe they need to be fired, even though there's a shortage of air traffic controllers. And Republicans continuing to insist, despite math, that this is somehow the Democrats' fault. But the right wing also has a very robust media ecosystem. Where do the American people appear to be at this point in understanding why the U.S. government is shut down?
Well, every poll, every legitimate poll shows that the American public believe that Republicans are to blame. Surprise, surprise, they know that Republicans are in control of the government, that they, you know, hold both houses of Congress and the presidency and the Supreme Court, by the way. So the public gets it. But that doesn't stop Republicans, and that doesn't stop, you know, right-wing media from every single day figuring out a way to talk about it so that it shifts the focus to Democrats. But people are also simultaneously getting their notices about their healthcare premiums going up. And the good news about bad news is that reality, you know, kicks you in the head sometimes. And so, I mean, I know I've gotten those in the mail this week about what's happening to my premiums. The whole country's getting that. The truth is that healthcare is a serious problem, and that Republicans can't pretend that that's the Democrats' fault.
No.
Or they can try.
Yeah. And they have been trying. And Mark, that's the thing. I mean, we work in political journalism. We understand the importance of politics, but we also know that when some people take politics, play politics, and move it too far away from reality, reality normally wins, like seeing your health insurance premiums go up or your flights getting delayed or things like that. Is that like pretty much every other shutdown, how this thing eventually ends? Is the people playing politics are going to get trumped, pun intended, by reality?
Well, I think this is playing out a little differently. You know, I mean, back when Gingrich tried to pull it on Clinton, Gingrich got hurt. And it is true that the Democrats they're not going along. They are using the filibuster power to require, you know, 60 votes in the Senate in order to get this done. And what they're doing is what politicians do, which is try to get something out of the deal. And what they're trying to get is relief for Americans on their healthcare bills. And so that's really a good issue for the Democrats. And for the Republicans, Trump is trying to act like he's Mr. Get Things Done, Mr. Efficiency, Mr. You know, we're in charge of everything. And it's, you know, the golden era kind of stuff. And you can't have a golden era. I came vacationed in Mexico City last week, and I landed at O'Hare, and I sat on the runway for 2 hours and 20 minutes waiting for a gate. Ooh. And that was, I believe, you know, I don't have proof, but I believe that it was because of the shutdown and people are being required to work, you know, as air traffic controllers, but they're not getting paid. So some people are calling in sick. And so this kind of chaos and inefficiency really reflects on the party that, as Jennifer pointed out, is in charge of everything right now.
And look, if they, meaning the Trump administration and Republicans, found more ways to try to focus the blame on Democrats, maybe they would be getting away with it. But they're also busy doing all these other things, like trying to put troops in other cities. Or, Jim, in this case, you've got the Trump administration now indicting
New York Attorney General Letitia James, who prosecuted, you know, some of Donald Trump's other cases. And again, the vindictiveness is so obvious. And the same goes for indicting James Comey, you know, a week ago, that, I mean, it only helps them take their eye off the ball because they're trying to do so many distractions at once. Letitia James is simply the latest example of it.
She definitely is. And she is not the last. The president denies that there is a list, but there is a list. He's identified who's coming next. That's Adam Schiff, the senator from California, likely George Soros. Remember, Fannie Willis from Georgia, she's on the list. Christopher Wray, all these people anticipate that now that we are truly in this authoritarian regime, that they will also be indicted. By whom? By the insurance lawyer who's now occupying the position of U.S. attorney, going into a grand jury. Grand jury, more and more we're finding out. Obviously, be interested to see what they did with the Letitia James indictment, pushing back on some of this, but finding just enough probable cause. And in this case, identifying what probably are once again unfounded allegations. The notion here has to do less with mortgage fraud. It's about banking fraud, saying that she had this home in Norfolk, Virginia. That's where you get the venue. That's why she's being prosecuted in Virginia. That's where this house is, instead of using it as her, as or using it as a rental property instead of a secondary home. And once again, it underscores the complete lack of not just focus, but of observance of anything related to the rule of law. If we were to say once again that there's a country out there where there's a leader who today is prosecuting his political enemies and seeking to jail them, what would we all say? Oh my gosh, that's a place where there's no rule of law. We would call that a banana republic. Welcome to the United States of America. And we're hold on for more of this. It's just going to continue.
Well, and it just seems to me, Mark, that if this were happening, say Joe Biden were doing this kind of vindictiveness, that had this kind of vendetta, along with the things that he would do and say throughout the course of the day, there would be talk about a cognitive and a mental decline. And the evidence of Donald Trump's decline is so out there, plain as day, for anybody to see. And yet it feels like the press corps doesn't want to connect those dots, because they'll be accused of, oh, there they go again. You know, they did it to Biden. So they're trying so hard, it seems, not to do it with Trump.
Yeah. And you really have to wonder whether Trump is actually, you know, actually knows what's going on. I mean, obviously he's the figurehead and he, you know, he's the charismatic, you know, cult of personality guy, but I just don't wonder whether he's pulling the strings. I mean, he keeps on saying crazy stuff like that Portland, Oregon has no stores open, you know, and, or, you know, or that there was even a time when he said, well, you know, you're telling me that maybe the things I'm saying on TV aren't really the things that are happening. Or, you know, he made quotes that make you think that there's this one quote that he said that made it seem as if he had been watching a Fox News report that mixed in the current situation in Portland with, you know, more extreme stuff from years ago, from 2020. And it's like he didn't know the difference between those two things. And so I don't think he's operating in a system of reality, and which is scary, because then you have like this crazy man, Stephen Miller, you know, pulling the strings. People really need to ask very seriously whether Trump, you know, has all his marbles, and whether he's actually, you know, calling the shots, or if he's just kind of doing crazy tweets like that crazy thing about med beds that he did, you know, a while back, about something that doesn't even exist, that is a video that even had a fake AI version of him, yet Trump posted it.
Yeah. And you know, Jennifer, if maybe some of the White House press corps isn't doing the work that it should, how do you feel like it's being seen in markets like Chicago, Portland, and elsewhere? You feel like they're taking things a bit more seriously in terms of the, you know, the crisis that this is all actually creating?
Well, the thing about local news is that that's just one of many stories that are getting covered. You know, I always do a quick look around to see what the headlines are and the big stories on any given local newscast in Chicago or newspaper. And you know, we've got a mix of things as opposed to a national network news program, which is more focused on politics, right? So, no, the Trump stuff If it's directly relating to Chicago as it is here, that's a big story. If it's less so, it's never the main thing and it doesn't get a lot of attention and it certainly doesn't get repeat attention. So, you know, it just depends. People like their local news and the local news generally does not involve Trump, although it does more and more with healthcare and food prices and that. So I don't know how much of the Trump crazy breaks through the local news. And then the only other way people are getting their information is on social media, which is, you know, not so reliable. So I don't know.
Not so reliable. That's the kindest way that you could possibly put that. Jennifer, do you want to kick us off on the significance of the Nobel Peace Prize being awarded this morning to the opposition leader in Venezuela and the significance of it, and just how much is Trump going to lose it today about not getting this prize that he campaigned for so blatantly?
Well, I'll tell you, the thing that really got me last night was The Guardian posted a story that said Norway is actually worried as of yesterday that if Trump didn't get the prize, and the Norwegian government has nothing to do with the prize, FYI, but they were worried about the blowback for their country. They were even in this article talking about they thought that Trump would declare Norway an enemy of the United States. And so, I mean, that's how insane this is. There is a country across the ocean that is sitting there gaming out how they need to be ready to respond to an angry man in the White House not getting the Nobel Prize. They didn't know who it was going to go to as of yesterday, but they were already planning their strategy about how to respond to him being angry about it. So who knows what he's going to do? The White House has already posted something, you know, just crazy about how he's the greatest peacemaker in the world and how dare they?
Oh. How dare they? How dare they?
They're calling it, the White House is calling it politics over peace. You know, so they're denouncing the fact that a brave opposition leader in Venezuela was honored for risking her life for freedom.
And by the way, not just risking her life, but, you know, the entire country is faced with a leader right now who did not win the last election. Right. Every outside observer looking at the ballots coming in said it was clear that Maduro did not win. He is still in power anyway, which is, I don't know, a testimony to something, that there's not a violent civil war going on there right now. But the fact that there is still an opposition leader who can do something to keep the subject in front of the people at least has to give people in Venezuela and around the world some hope. So it seems, Mark, like perfect recognition.
Yeah, I mean, and wouldn't it be really classy for the White House? Not that you associate Trump and classy very often, but wouldn't it be really classy just to say, boy, what a great choice that was. You know, we celebrate, you know, Machado for, you know, for what she's done, and hope that in the end it'll work for the Venezuelan people. Is that so hard to say?
Yes. The
yes,
correct
it is,
answer.
Mark. What are you talking about?
It is, and it is. The reason I bring this up is I just, again, without trying to sound too alarmist here, is what is life going to be like in 2028 if Trump, like Maduro, decides I'm not going to recognize these results? He's going to have troops on streets trying to intimidate voters. And I feel like even for all the things that he rails against the Venezuelan government for, I feel like it's there as a potential manual for him to follow over the next couple of years, which is part of the reason that I bring it up this morning with Mark Jacob, with Jennifer Schulze, with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, our Week in Review panel, joining us today. And in our next hour, Dr. Kristen Lierlieg will be along, and Mike Clemens will talk about the Brewers now facing elimination against the Cubs tomorrow. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person, That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Concerned residents in the town of Stella near Rhinelander packed their town hall to demand answers from the EPA and DNR about PFAS contamination. The toxic forever chemicals have been found at high levels in drinking water and waterways across the area. The DNR says that contamination came from industrial sludge spread on farm fields by two nearby paper companies. Wisconsin's coastal communities are getting more money to help improve and protect shore lines. In celebration of Coastal Awareness Month, the Wisconsin Department of Administration is handing out $1.3 million in Wisconsin Coastal Management Program grants to 35 communities across our state. Right now on the Defender podcast, the amazing story of one Wisconsin food that was banned, burned, disappeared from our plates, and the comeback that's being helped along by solar farms. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs, don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. You think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones?
Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian, Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children, right. So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like at Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like six tacos, nachos, Bel Grande, and I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back to WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. The time is almost 7:53, a bit warmer to start off this morning than it has been the last couple of days. It is 50 degrees here at our downtown studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. I am Chad Holmes. Again, good morning to Ian Welsh.
Good morning, Chad.
And it is Friday, so time to look to the weekend. And boy, oh boy, what a weekend it will be in Wisconsin sports. And good to see across the table again the head football coach of New McCathic High School, Paul McClick. And coach, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Well, it's going to be a busy weekend. Of course, you got your game tonight. You'll take care of business, we hope, against Tri-County. Tom will have the broadcast at 6:40 on the Sports 2 stream of WXCO.FM and the Civic Media app. But then tomorrow, the good news for the Badgers is no one will be watching because the Brewers and the Cubs will be in.
What time is it? Is the Badger game at 2:30?
Well, they kick off at 6.
Or six, six.
So that will get a little. You can watch the first hour, and then by that point, I will be ahead by a couple of scores, and then can flip to the. Badgers will probably come out and play well. But let's talk about the Brewers because 2-2 last night. They were not able to do much. It was not a game where it felt like the magic was coming at any point, and so now heading back to Milwaukee for a massive game number 7 tomorrow night at American Family Field. I really was hoping they get it in 3 straight because it felt like once Chicago got game 3, I'm not shocked, but you also thought game 4, you want to finish it there because of the pitching.
Yeah, I mean, Of course you want to finish in three. I mean, well, but, once they get momentum right. and whatever the case might be, and the reality of this is
so like when you're baseball. Up 21-0, you give up a touchdown. It's like, you know, you feel like it's kind of, you got it in control, but then one touchdown, the whole game changes very quickly. That's the way with
well, it
the
goes
series.
Back to the, you can compare it to the Packers. When I was talking to you about that, and or the Cowboys game, when they gave those 2 points up, when you give momentum, and especially a team that doesn't need, they don't need the momentum. Oh, they don't need the momentum. They have talent. They have a lot of talents and high pay talent. And so they're going to come through. And it's not looking. This is not the scenario. They did the exact thing that they wanted the first two games, and kudos to them. They put themselves in a very difficult situation, in a situation where, you know, the one thing you don't want to see, and this might be just as a fan, I don't know if I could even watch Saturday's game, is be,
I know.
Because you got counts, you know I what I'm know. Saying? You have them yeah. coming back there, and they're going to be celebrating on their field. It has a little more sting to it.
By the way, real quickly, and I saw this the other night with Toronto when they clinched their series with the Yankees. These teams celebrate like they won the World Series in baseball. I don't think I see that in, say, basketball or
you don't
hockey.
Think?
You don't?
Of course you don't. That's not even
what,
close.
What is the deal with these champagne celebrations? Number one, to win a wild card. Number two, to win a first-round series. What's the deal with that? Yeah. Am I missing something here?
I want to see, yeah, in the NFL in the wild card weekend, I want to see them all celebrating and
confetti,
popping the confetti. And
put out
and,
the stage on the 50-yard line?
Yes, it is.
Bring
a little,
out Terry Bradshaw for the interview?
It is a little ridiculous. I thought the same thing for a while now. And again, if you're on the winning side, it's like, okay, go ahead. Yeah, if you're on the losing side, then it's not so much. Especially in your home field exactly. and your home side.
One thing I'll say, though, is in these situations, every time the Brewers were teetering at all, they have this ability to respond. Every time it felt like. This team
the only
had
time I didn't think they responded last night. That's the only thing that they didn't have. Even when, because all the runs have been up for the most part in the first inning.
I know, huh?
And
get through the top of the first tomorrow night, you'll be feeling a lot better.
You would feel a lot better. I don't think that's not going to be on the decision making of who actually starts tomorrow night.
Opens.
You know, opens, yes, correct. But they came back. They had 4-3 yesterday or 2 days ago. Right. They had a guy on second base, nobody out, and we can't get him over to third to tie in the eighth, in the top of the eighth. You got to do the little things. Even last night, second and third, it was 3-1 or 3-0 yet. And Yelich strikes out and right. doesn't get like they have to put when they have opportunities to get runs without getting the hits. They have to do it. They have to. They don't have the talent to do it that way. And I thought the last 2 days they didn't do it. But I will say 2 days ago they battled when it was down mm-hmm. after the first inning. They came back. They put themselves in position to tie it. And you got to give them. That's kind of the team that they've been all mm-hmm. year. Last night, I didn't see that, which is a little concerning.
Right, and the thing about you know doing the little things, and I saw an interview with Buck Martinez, who was a former Brewer back in the Bambi's Bombers days, and he was a manager, and now he's doing a broadcasting with Toronto, and he mentioned the fact that, and he got into a little heat with the Yankees because a month ago he said the Yankees are not a good team. And what he meant was they don't do the fundamentals very well. They were not a good defensive team. They don't, other than hitting the big bombs with Aaron Judge, they don't do things well. They're not a good team. And he said after the last game, he said, yeah, it wasn't meant to be, you know, that controversial, but Toronto and Milwaukee do things the right way. And that's why those are the two teams that had the best record in Major League Baseball, in the American League and the National League, because they did the little things, and that can't stop now because the Brewers, despite you know being the best record, it is still a thin line for this team. They are not going to go out there and out-talent you. You got to do it the right way, right?
Correct, and they got to do it tomorrow, and hopefully they do it. And what do you think before I know we leave here? But what do you think? Come on.
I don't think they're going to win. I hope they're. I mean, I'm just talking about my head. My heart is. I felt
I
bad.
I hope the Badgers play a good game because that's where I'm going to be watching probably.
We saw it last year against the Mets. All right, we need a little
positivity.
So, Ian, if you're right, we'll celebrate with you on Monday morning and look forward to the Dodger game on Monday night at American Family Field. So, all right, we're going to be back at 8:22. We'll talk some football. We'll talk the Packers have to meet their nemesis Joe Flacco again on Sunday and the Badgers in Iowa. So we'll talk more Wisconsin sports with Paul Mickling at 8:22 right here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Hopes on both sides the two-year war in Gaza is over as a ceasefire takes effect. This Israeli man weighing in.
Such a happy moment for all Israelis and for all the Middle East.
Palestinians proceeding with caution.
We don't want them to take their hostages and then return to war.
They have been displaced multiple times and making impossible choices to survive.
Antoine Renard with the World Food Program. The White House is blaming politics after the president was snubbed for the Nobel Peace Prize today. Winner, Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Conchita Machado.
Thank you very much. It's an honor, and I know it's a recognition to our people, to the Venezuelan people.
The Phillies out of the running.
Jaez breaks his bat. Kirk Ring, got to find it. Throws to the plate. Oh, my goodness. He throws it away.
The Dodgers onto the NLCS after rookie Orion Kirkering's 11th inning error on TNT. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.